Good morning. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN. Today we are joined by Greg Istone. Greg is the Riley County Extension Horticulture Agent with K-State Research and Extension. Greg, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Brandon. It's good to be with you.
Yeah, pleasure to have you on once again. Got a number of things we're going to discuss here to do with horticulture, gardening, and such. And one of the things we'll start with here is you had a garden tour initially scheduled. I understand that had to be canceled.
Yes, following our K-State Research and Extension policy of no in-person programs until after the first part of July here, we had to cancel our annual garden tour that the Master Gardeners organize for us each year. Unfortunately, that's not going to happen. It would have been coming up this Sunday. On the plus side of that, it sounds like the weather forecast is going to be quite warm in the 90s and 96 or so. And so in one respect, it's good that we're not having it. But hopefully next year, the same sites can be on the tour and so that no one misses out. Just have to see how the growing season and everything plays out. But hopefully next year or around the same time, we'll have the same or a couple more sites for people to visit. It's always a good time, and we're kind of disappointed, but that's the way it's gone this year.
Yeah, no question about it. And that typically you have a different community residents with their gardens kind of on showcase?
That's right. We always are looking for potential garden spots to showcase, and the five that we're on this year hopefully can renew for next year, which makes maybe our Master Gardener volunteer work a little bit easier, but we sure want to showcase anybody's site that is wanting to be on the tour, and it all works out. So hopefully those that were on this year can make it work out for next year.
Yeah. Well, hopefully many people have had an opportunity to get out and do some gardening. The weather's been pretty nice for the most part this spring. I haven't had a ton of rain like we did last year. But I know one thing that's been emerging, there's been a lot of diseases on plants this spring.
Yes, we've had a lot of cloudy days, in my opinion, and that can allow for that moisture that is required for the diseases to stay active longer. And so we have had quite a bit of disease this spring so far. So you may see some yellow dots on your leaves of, say, your hawthorn, your crabapple, even your pear, with a fruiting pear or ornamental pear, and that's a rust disease that is in relationship with cedars, and takes both plants to be in the environment for that disease to go back and forth, and that has ran its course for the springtime season, so any spots and things on our leaves are going to be there. How that disease works is we usually get a wet period in July, and the spores go back from the hawthorn, the pear, the crabapple, whatever it is, back to our juniper plant. And it takes about 2 years for that to develop on the juniper plant and then be mature enough to go back. Unfortunately, there's some every year, so even though it takes 2 years, there will be some next year for sure, and it usually is that two-year cycle. So if we have a rainy period in July this year, we'll expect quite a bit of rust in 2 years from now. Several other diseases have developed. We've had powdery mildew on some of our annual flowers that you might have already planted this spring, some starting to develop on our peony leaves. The thing about diseases is, we usually don't do anything until we start to see it. And unfortunately, that's getting to be too late. Most of our fungicides that we have are not curative, but preventative. And so you need to anticipate getting diseases and putting that protection on them. Fortunately, most of our diseases really aren't life-threatening by any means for our plants. They just reduce their vigor and attractiveness typically, and the plants typically will go ahead and grow throughout the season and be back next year without a lot of harm, but in some cases we do need to pay close attention, and if we've had some diseases, we want to make sure we're doing our other things to make plants healthy. biggest one would be moisture, providing moisture during dry periods. Not much we can do with excess moisture. So the main thing a gardener can do for all plant health is providing moisture when we get into our dry periods of the season.
Okay. And yeah, and hopefully we'll get a little bit more rain here. That always certainly helps. I don't want
much. But. Definitely. So the rule of thumb for gardeners and plants is an inch of moisture a week, whether we get natural rainfall, which is always best, or we need to get the sprinklers or turn the system on so that we get that inch of moisture. Also, what we like to do is get that inch of moisture within a 24-hour period. So instead of watering a little bit every day to get that inch, we like to do it on one day. Let's get that deep soak so those roots can go down and kind of defend for itself for that week. And then let the top surface dry out so we get some gas exchange. That also should reduce some of the weed pressure. Weeds really like moisture on a regular basis. So for watering every day a little bit, that really encourages weeds. That would also be a good environment for diseases. And so that 1 inch a week in a 24-hour period is our goal for gardeners.
And one thing that can be deceitful this time of year is bagworms, and I see they're starting to appear. Sometimes you can't even tell.
That's right. They are hatching. One of our indicators is when the catalpa trees are in bloom. That means there's been enough heat units for the eggs to start to hatch in those bags. They'll hatch for a few weeks. They don't all hatch at one time. They're very small, size of the pencil head at this point. And there will be some predation. There will be some that just die. So we don't encourage you to really spray yet. I really encourage to wait till you can kind of see them with your eye. And that usually takes about 30 days. And then you can really tell where they are, how many there are, and whether you need to treat. So typically the end of June, first part of July is when I suggest really being conscious of what's going on in your landscape. And if you have an overabundance of bagworms, we can treat at that time. A lot of insecticides are labeled and work. The common one people are using nowadays is something with a product of spinosad in there. It's an organic pesticide, if you will, and really targeted for bagworms, not going to hurt other desirable insects and animals and things like that. Sometimes, depending on what plant the bagworms are on, we need a really good system of getting that product to the bagworm itself. So like in a cedar tree, a juniper, very dense foliage, bagworms will be feeding inside there, and it's hard sometimes to get your product down inside that foliage. So you do the best you can. Sometimes you need to hire a professional with equipment that can really penetrate that foliage and get the product in there. Should be just really one application in later part of June, first part of July, ought to manage it. We probably won't kill them all. That never occurs, but we want to reduce plant injury. Bagworms will feed on everything. You'll probably see bags on all kinds of plants. Typically, it's our evergreen-type plants, the cedars, arborvitaes, spruces. Those are the plants that are most susceptible to large populations. So really scout and manage the bagworms on those plants. Others, if you want to, you can. You can always pick off bags as they develop, but sometimes that kind of overwhelms somebody. So be out there. Be alert to bagworms. They're going to come and go as far as populations, and a little bit early to tell yet how bad they are this year, but they're generally always around.
All right, well, bagworms can be a nuisance. I know weeds can be a nuisance as well. What are some tips for controlling that?
Yes, weeds, I'd say, are a constant. Diseases may come and go during the season, or some years you don't even see them, and insects as well. But it seems like weeds are definitely a constant challenge for gardeners. There are pre-emergence to keep some of these annual weeds from germinating, so that's one method. Also using mulches. Now that the soil temperatures have warmed up, we've got good root development. You can put on your organic mulches, whether it be straw and hay in the vegetable garden or wood chips around your landscape plants. That's going to shade the soil, and most of these weed seeds need some sunlight for them to germinate. Crabgrass in particular, everybody's weed of don't like to have around, does require sunlight to hit the soil, so if we can just shade the soil, that's going to help. As we get into a little bit of germination, there are products that you can put down, particularly in our lawn areas, that keeps crabgrass that has germinated from maturing. So there are products out there. Also, in the vegetable garden, we're going to use some tools. We call it a shuffle hoe. So it kind of just scrapes the weeds right at soil line, so you're not stirring up more seeds to get light and continue to grow. So you want to use the right tools to do an efficient job. There's a few weeds that I have in my lawn or yard that are really just a nuisance to me. Right now we've got the carpet or a catch weed that is coming up. It's starting to mature and produce those seeds that will stick to your clothing and to your shoestrings and all those things. When it's reached the seed stage, we just need to bag those up. There's really nothing else we can do. Pull them up and bag those seeds and get those out of the landscape. There's three of them that kind of mature at different stages. The next one that's starting to flower right now is parsley hedge. And again, those seeds will cling to your shoestrings, your clothes and things, your socks, and so it's good to get those knocked down. Again, same strategies. You can use some hoeing equipment, cut them off, suffocate them with some mulches and things like that. Main thing is if they go to seed, that you bag up those seeds and prevent them from spreading around in your landscape. And the last one that just started to grow kind of looks like a marigold. If you've ever grown marigolds, the leaves are similar. It is called Spanish needles. And like a marigold seed, it's the same shape, but this seed will actually cling to your clothing again and socks and shoestrings. And so come late summer, fall, those start to mature, and you can spread those all over your landscape if you're not diligent at keeping those populations down. So lots of weeds going on out there. Things are really growing fast with the warm temperatures. Our cool season vegetables are coming to an end, and the tomatoes, peppers, squashes, and sweet potatoes, you could plant your sweet potatoes now, are really going to take off, and they really like these high temperatures.
All right, yeah. Well, that's good to hear, and, you know, it's that time of year. This is my favorite time of year. I was telling Karen Hibbert that earlier, and I love this time of year because it's get a lot of optimism, and especially when you get out in the garden and see the results of your planting starting to come together.
Yes, things typically go pretty well for us. If you're a new gardener, there may be some learning curve and some challenges to be aware of, and that's one reason why the Extension Service is here to help you, and encourage anyone as they have plant issues. You can always give us a call at 785-537-6350. There's a great website for problems in Kansas in your landscape, vegetable garden, and that's what it's called, Common Plant Problems in Kansas. So do a search for that, and it's alphabetical order, whether it be from the plant or maybe the name of the potential problem. There'll be a picture and some description, and also usually a way to manage it. And so I want to encourage people to go to that website. And they can always send me some pictures at this point, probably after the first part of July. We'll have more interaction. But if you have a picture, take a picture of your issue and want to send that to me, that would be a great first step in helping you out with your gardening practices.
All right. Sounds good. Well, he's Greg Eyestone. He's a Riley County Extension agent for horticulture here in Kansas State University. We always appreciate talking with you, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds great, Brandon. You have a great weekend.